So last week we looked at Matthew chapter 1, we looked at verse 18. The title of the message was simply Before. And we talked about how God has gone before us. God went before the parents of those who would raise Jesus. And we looked at, Matthew 1:18, which reads, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, I love the fact that God has gone before us, church. Before any of us, before our parents came together, God was there. Before Melody and Justin and Tori and Emmanuel and Robert and Annabelle and all these, before all y'all get married and Daniel, God has already gone before. And it's such a good thing to know that God, he hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we looked at how God had gone before them because God had a plan in their being together, Joseph and Mary. God had a plan that superseded their being together. God had a plan that was in place before they even knew each other. God had gone before them, and he determined to use them before even the foundation of the world. And so before they came together, the scripture says that she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And that's the title of my message today, Found with Child. Found with Child. Amen. That can be a good thing if you're married. I said that could be a good thing. But now if you're not married, if you're betrothed, that's not a good thing, right? And so let me start out by saying this, that there are many relationships that we have in life. One of the most important of them is the marriage relationship. We all know this. For in it, in the marriage relationship, the human race is blessed by God to multiply and fill the earth, as Genesis, as the Lord told the Adam and Eve in Genesis. Notice I said in the marriage relationship, the human race is blessed to then multiply and fill the earth. So you choose your spouse, but you don't choose your parents and you don't choose your siblings. I've also heard it say you don't choose your in-laws. But you choose your parents and you choose your siblings, or you don't get to choose them, but you do get to choose your spouse in most cultures, at least in ours you do. And so Joseph and Mary chose one another. Joseph and Mary chose one another. However, God had chose them. God chose them. They didn't know it, but God chose them for his great purpose of bringing his word to pass concerning redemption, which was spoken all the way over in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15, when God cursed the serpent and said, you're cursed above all cattle, above all the things that creep upon the earth. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt eat dust all of your life. And the seed of the woman will put enmity between you and the seed of the woman. And he said that the seed of the woman is going to crush your head, but you will bruise his heel. And the seed of the woman is Christ and his people, right? It is Christ. So God's word had come to Israel, come to Israel and through Israel into the earth for hundreds of years. We know this all through the Old Testament. God chose Abraham, who would hear his word. The word of the Lord came to him, and God chose Isaac and Jacob and all of the descendants of Abraham through Isaac, all of his descendants, and God's word would come to them and through them, through the prophets, the Judean prophets, and so forth. And so God used them down throughout the centuries and even a millennia or so to bring forth his word. But this time it was going to be quite different, because not only was God, had God spoken through the nation of Israel, God was now going to bring his word in a manner that he had never brought it before. Because all the other times God spoke his word, but now God is going to take his word and it's going to become flesh. And what he was doing through the nation of Israel for all those hundreds of years, he's about to turn and make a huge difference. Because not only was his word to come to them and through them, but his word was to be made flesh and dwell among them. Among them, remember Jesus said, to the lost tribes of the house of Israel am I sent. Okay? And so, this is what is happening in this story. And I love the Christmas story. I love it. There are a whole lot of stories in the Bible that are just, I love to read, but I don't know if there's any story more that I love to read more than the Matthew and account and Luke account of the birth of Jesus. Because no other place do I find more angelic intervention, more dreams, more just activity of the Spirit of God and angelic hosts than surrounding the birth of the Word of God now being made flesh and dwelling amongst us. And so God not only was there angelic activity, but he had to bring two to submit to his will so that his will would be done in the earth. And that's what we're going to be looking at briefly today. I won't be long. I told my wife today, I said, honey, I'm not going to be long. She says, honey, you're never long. She says, honey, that was said with a certain, you know, and so I says, honey, I really don't have much to say. But let me say this. In order for God to do what he was going to do now with the word being made flesh, he was going to have to interrupt the normal course of conception as we know it. And why? Because as we'll look at the text, let me read it again here or look at it again. Verse 18, that she was found while she was betrothed to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child by the Holy Spirit. And then we'll go over to the Luke account, to the account of Luke. And let me turn there so that we can look at it. You remember the angel comes to her and just shows up in the room or wherever she is and says, behold, maiden of the Lord, thou art favored of God, blessed and highly favored. And she was shocked or surprised by his presence. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Now, so the angel comes to her with this great announcement. And she says, but how can this be since I do not know a man? In other words, Mary's mind was caught and stuck where my mind would be and your mind would be. The angel came to me and said, I'm going to bring forth a child and he's going to have the throne of his father, David. And of course she says, well, okay, well, who's going to be the father? I don't know a man. And this is where things get a little different because you see, it's not man talking to you, it's an angel. And it's an angel sent by God. And God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Some people think it's in the Bible, but I've never read it there. And so God's going to do something not a little bit out of the ordinary. And why? Well, he would have to do something different because this child couldn't be from the man who was cursed in the garden. Hello. He couldn't come from that man, of which we all are. And so back to what the angel said, says, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth the son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Son of the Highest, which means he couldn't be a normal son of Adam. Hello. Right. But that's where Mary's mind was caught up. And thus God moved before man because her mind was there. God moved before her and Joseph were even the betrothal was complete and they were fully married. God moved before then and said, listen, But he came to her to let her know. And the response to her about how this was going to happen, God says, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. There's going to be another person involved in this. All throughout the scripture and all throughout history, God has intended that people beget people. Hello. He uses people to bring forth people. That's how you and I got here. Amen. I should have a hearty amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm here because my parents, amen, they didn't beget a goat. Come on, they didn't have a pig. They had me. And I'm very glad of it. God intended for it to be that way. That's why Mary's thinking to herself, well, how am I going to have this child? But see, God, what was different about it was that God intended for her to be influenced by another person. Just it wouldn't be her husband. He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. The Son of God. And so she was going to have a relationship, but it wasn't going to be a normal average relationship. Why? Because God's Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9 says this. God says this through the prophet. My ways are not your ways. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So when Mary goes to thinking, how is this going to happen? Seeing I don't know a man. She doesn't know the fullness of the Godhead. Because God said it's something totally different. It would never enter her mind what was about to happen to her. And by the way, this is always will be a beautiful picture of you and I and how we came to faith in Jesus Christ. Hello. Because it wasn't what we did. It wasn't what we had planned. We didn't even know anything about it. It wasn't what my father did, what my mother did, because it wasn't what Joseph did. It wasn't what Mary did. It was all about what God did. And what did God do? The power of the Holy Spirit overshadowed your life, and he planted a seed in your heart, just like he planted a seed in her womb. And when he planted that seed, conception came, and in her began to grow Christ the child. And when God placed his word, that seed in your spirit, in my spirit, that seed met with faith, and all of a sudden Christ began to come in us, and he's living in every one of us right now. And so in that way, we see our lives mirrored here in the Christmas story. The angel said to her in Luke 1, he says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Notice he didn't say you worked up favor. You merited favor. All that you prayed and fasted and all that you did, Mary, now God has come to say it's paid off. I'm going to pay you back for all that you did. No, he says, you have found favor with God. Notice in Matthew, the account we just read said that she was found with child. But here it says she found favor. What do we find then? All those people who find favor with God will eventually be found with child. I said all those people who find favor with God will eventually be found with child. What am I saying? I'm saying simply this, that the only reason why Mary had Christ, was found with a child by the Holy Spirit, was because she had found favor with God. She had found favor with God. Remember, the Bible says about Noah that God was going to destroy the whole earth, but Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. That's what favor is. It's simply grace. Simply grace. She was all God's doing. And yet man was totally unaware of his workings until he revealed them through the angel. And so the scripture says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. What am I trying to say? I'm simply trying to say this, that we should be found with child. Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, after a while, after conception has taken place, it's kind of hard to hide. that you got something going on inside. And as a Christian, if Jesus is living on the inside of us, it ought to be awfully hard to hide the fact that Jesus is living on the inside. What I'm saying is that you and I should be found with child of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian ought to be, just as Mary was. Mary couldn't hide it. Obviously, the two accounts from Luke, the account of Matthew was after the account of Luke, because the angel has met with Mary in Luke chapter 1, and she's going, she's already said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the Holy Spirit at that moment, scholars believe that the Holy Spirit, through his working, just like he hovered over the waters in Genesis chapter 1, and that the creative power of God created that seed in her, and conception was ignited in her womb. Just like scholars don't understand now, how is it at the very moment that you and I are born again? No one knows. Jesus said that in John chapter 3, remember when Nicodemus asked him and said, how can we be born again? Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, how can we be born again? Are we to enter back into our mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, the wind blows and it goes and it comes and no man knows where it comes from. He said, so is the Spirit. The Spirit moves and does His work and nobody knows how. Right? And that's how He worked in our lives, because He saved all of us. And each individual account is probably all different. And how He did it, how He brought it to pass. And we don't know how He did it, but we know He did it. This is the same thing that was at work in the womb of Mary. The angel instructs her, says that after you conceive in your womb, you shall call His name Jesus. And God help us to be careful to name the work of God in our life by His rightful name. God help us to be careful. What am I saying? Andre Crouch wrote in his song, My Tribute, he said, and should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. Should I gain any praise? There are a lot of things that God, by His working, is doing in us, and we can want to go and take credit for it. But the angel said, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You shall call His name Jesus. That which the work of God is doing in us, which can be seen, which can even be praised, God help us to give Him all the glory, to give Christ all the glory for what He is doing in our hearts and our lives. Why? Because we're not made for ourselves. We're not our own. We were bought with a price, and we belong to Him. And the reason that we exist today is for His glory. And so that's why when I saw Mommy on television yesterday, I was just praying. I was like, Father, just bless her, Lord, and help her. Help her. Listen, God has given each one of us a stage or a platform. He's given, listen, all of us influence. You said, nobody know me. I don't have any influence. Oh, yes, you do. You have influence. And we're to use that influence and that stage and that platform to give glory to God. Why? It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. If the world knew the story, as Kwaku has told us the story, of his trip from Ghana across the desert. Hello. Months in a desert. And how he got here and lived in a shipping barrel, a shipping crate, a metal crate. How he lived in that crate for I don't know how long. If the world knew the story, then and maybe the world one day will, you know what Kwaku would do. He would give all the glory. Why are you here where you are? Because He did it. Right. Because His name is Jesus. The angel said, you shall call His name Jesus. All of this that God has done in your life, all that He's shown, all that He's made evidence, call Him by His name. It's the work of Jesus. He gets all the glory. He gets all the credit. He gets all the praise. Right? And so, back in Luke 1:35, again, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you." We see the Godhead involved here. God the Father sent the angel to tell her the news that she would bear and bring forth her son, the Son of God. And she said, "How would this happen?" And he said, "The Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit. So the Father brought the word to her that you are going to give birth to the word. And how is this going to happen? Because of the Holy Spirit. The Godhead, who are three in one, all present there, working in their life to working in her life to bring forth his son. And the Godhead is involved. The same God is involved in bringing forth Christ in you and I. And every day, he seeks to bring forth his son more in you. It's part of Emmanuel's prayer request was that the Lord would keep carrying me. He who has carried me thus far would carry me all of next year. Amen. Pray he would carry me all of next year. And we know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And forever. And we pray every Sunday because I wanted to remind us that it's so important to pray, to give ourselves, in particular corporate prayer, when we have an opportunity. Because when mommy went, Tori and I were sitting there watching mommy skate yesterday. And I remembered back to, I remember the day, it was a Tuesday evening corporate prayer service. Craig, who was sitting back there, were a little to the right of where Daniel is. And mommy was like 5 or 6 years old. And Kweku said, "Pastor, I would like prayer for mommy because she's skating and I just want prayer for her." Now, he didn't say anything other than that, as far as I can remember. And I remember he said, "Bring her up here." And he brought her up. And we all gathered around, laid hands on her. And as we began to pray, I remember we praying this. "And Lord, let us see the day where she will skate in the Olympics. We pray in the name of Jesus that this girl will be so good she'll go to the Olympics." That was 11 years ago. What are you praying for? What are you praying for? I want to encourage you. Pray. Don't stop praying. Just pray. Because things happen when you pray that don't happen when you don't pray. It's real simple. Hello. Pray. I'm not trying to be deep. Just, but give yourselves to prayer. I was telling the church on Tuesday, that, you know, a week ago, this past Monday, a guy went up into New York, strapped himself with some pipe bombs, walked into the New York subway. He's going to blow something up. But you know how it is, see, when you pray. Because I was up Sunday morning praying. And I always pray, like I already prayed today. Father, you know that part of the Lord's Prayer that says, "Deliver us from evil." Yes. Amen. "And the evil one, deliver us from evil." So I was up last Sunday morning praying, "Father, deliver us from evil. I see, Lord, I know you see all the wickedness. You see evil people planning and plotting to destroy and to bring death and destruction. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that their plans would be frustrated. Lord, that you would, Lord, that they would be torn apart. Father, what the devil has planned for evil, Lord, that you would, Lord, just destroy it in the name of Jesus." And so the next day, this boy is walking into New York subway. And all he got to blow off was about his shirt, you see, because his pipe bombs, they didn't work right. Amen. And it was all over the news, you remember. And I remember when I saw it, I just said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus." Listen, because there are people praying in this nation. I'm not talking about the Christians who are divided by politics and race and hating one another and hating on each other. No, I'm talking about there are Christians who love God. There are Christians who believe in prayer. There are Christians who believe in the power of God and the holiness of God. And they're praying against death and destruction and that life would come because God is the giver of life. And so when we pray, I cannot ask, my God, I was thought about turning this message into a message on prayer. But I'm going to tell you, church, listen, don't stop praying. Pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, give up. Luke 1:18. Men ought always to pray. It says Jesus told them this parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to give up, lose heart, or faint. We are to pray. We're to pray. And when we pray according to his will. Hello.
Come on.
Ha!
That's the word.
1 John 5:18. When we pray according to his will. Apparently, mommy winning, going into the Olympics yesterday was a part of his will. And when you pray according to his will, the Bible says we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. I tell you, let me tell you one of the greatest things that you can do as a child of God on earth. Find the will of God and pray it. Find the will of God and listen, just lay into it. I mean, just pray. Ask God for it. Because he says, if you ask anything according to my will. Oh, if you ask anything, he said, there's no limit. There's nothing I can't do. But if I want it done and you ask for it, I'll do it. Oh, God. Made me want to get in my closet, shut myself up all day long, say, Father, what is it that you want to do? Oh, God, what is it that you want to do? I pray now in the name of Jesus. I pray now in the name of Jesus. Well, we know that God wants to save. God wants to save people. My sister, my older sister married a man whose wife died, left him with 4 children who were raised Jehovah's Witness. And all of them Jehovah's Witness. And she married him years ago. And my mother, when she was still alive, my mother be on, you know how mothers are. Man, I'll tell you, nothing like a prayers of a mother. Okay. Nothing like the prayers of a mother. So anyhow, so my mother said, I'm praying for all leaders, her children, her husband's children. I'm praying for all of them coming to the kingdom. I said, okay, Mom, I'm right with you. So me and Mama get together, we be praying, you know, going to prayer. And while Mama was still alive, One of the 4 children came to Jesus. She not only met Jesus, she married a man who was saving. He adopted her children. So they're loving Jesus. Amen. They're growing in God. And then a few months ago, they took one of the youngest one to church with them. And while this girl's in church, she starts bawling and crying and weeping and just all messed up in the church. And the Holy Ghost was all over her. And all of a sudden, this girl raised Jehovah's Witness, if I'm not mistaken. She broke out in tongues. And she crying and everything. And they said, well, when did this happen to you? She says, oh, this was years ago. This came on me, and it comes on me now every now and again. That's two down. Amen. Mama gone on. But there's still one, and I'm sure others, who praying. Oh, yes, I'm praying. Why? Because I know God is not willing that any should perish. Come on. And so when you find the will of God, get in that thing and pray. Remember Simeon in the story? The Bible says it was revealed to him that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. Let me tell you what I believe Simeon was doing every day he got up. Ah, Lord, I pray. You said it. I'm praying. I'm not going to leave this earth until I lay my eyes on your son, on your Messiah, on your Christ. Guess what? It happened. Amen. Why? Because he not only heard the word of God, I believe he was praying. I believe he was believing God for what God has spoken to him. And so we need to give ourselves to that. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is the person in Mary's life that was going to bring forth this person, not Joseph. I said, people beget people. Amen. This was a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now, I don't know to what extent Mary knew that. When you go back and you just search Holy Spirit throughout the whole Bible, it's only mentioned 3 times in the Old Testament. I don't know if Mary knew when the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. I don't know if she knew the Holy Spirit the way we would, as the third person of the Godhead. He's not a thing. He's not an it, y'all. He's a person. He has feelings. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can limit the Holy. You can do all the. Why? Because he's a person. And so she said, He is going to overshadow you. And when he does this, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And just as it is in our lives, so it was in hers. This is what she said. Behold the maidservant of the Lord, Luke 1:38. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. According to your word. Hello. Hello. So what we have, what do we have there? We have the will of God being declared. By the way, the greatest thing in the earth today, greatest thing. Now, the greatest person we know is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Godhead. The greatest thing in the earth today is the will of God. The will of God. The will of God. God, the angel, has let her know his will. Then she takes her will and she comes up underneath the will of God. She said, if that's what you want to do, behold, here I am. Let it be done to me according to your will. So here now we have her will on earth being married to the will of God in heaven. And now it's going to come to pass. That's what we do in prayer. That's what we do in prayer. When we come to know the will of God concerning anything and we enter into it, into prayer, God is going to get his will done here in the earth. Amen. Now, listen, he's going to get it done with or without us. But he's given us the opportunity to be a part. That's why Diane is always saying, oh, he was so good just to let me be a part. He was so good to include me. Why? Because he doesn't have to, church. He doesn't have to. Amen. So then her relationship with God, her relationship with God was moving forward. But at the very time that her relationship with God was moving forward, her relationship with man was at a standstill. Why? Because Joseph doing one of these. He's nervous. Hello? Rightfully so, right? He's nervous as any of us would be before the term baby bump came about. The scripture says, now, you know, of course, when it says she was found with child, you know what that is, right? I mean, now, it means that people found she was with child. How the only way you find out people, she wasn't running around showing them her sonogram pictures. Come on. No, when it says she was found with child, Mary was all of a sudden, you know, doing what? And that's not good. Right. And so at the very time when she's given herself and said, yes, Lord, I'll do your will. Her relationship with God is going forward because her will is married to the will of God. But her relationship with man is at a standstill. And we find this true in our lives, too. Whenever we give ourselves to the will of God, you can bet. You better know that there's somebody who's going to have some words and someone who's going to not be in agreement with it. Now, with Joseph, it was right. It was right. As we understand it, right? Verse 19 of Matthew 1 says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. And so Joseph was an honorable and a godly man. And he could have had her stoned. He could have had her killed. Hello. But being a just man was wanting to put her away secretly. And I love the patience we see here in Joseph, because the scripture says in verse 20 of Matthew 1, but while he thought about these things, in other words, he wasn't rash. In other words, he wasn't just going to run out and just do something rash and without thinking, just run out and just tear her head off. You understand? Because this goes on over in other countries, honor killings and all this craziness. But he's thinking about these things. The scripture says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Ah, how beautiful. How beautiful. And then verse 24 says this. So we see, and before I get there, what we see is this. God made his will known to Mary. She submitted. God now is making his will known to Joseph. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. So now Joseph submits his will to the will of God. Why? So that Christ might come forth in her. Now the very same process that was active there is active here. Because God every day is making known his will for you and I. Why? So that Christ might come forth in us. So that we might be found with child, which is a good thing. But now when God reveals his will, we've got a decision to make. Mary had a decision to make. Remember Zacharias? God made his will known to Zacharias. And Zacharias said, I really don't see how this is going to happen. You know, and here's the angel of the Lord. He said, why should I believe you, Gabriel? Gabriel said, I see. He says, now, my name is Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of the Lord. And this is going to be a sign to you that what I say is going to come to pass. You ain't even going to be able to open up your mouth to disagree any longer until this child is born. How about that? How's that going to work for you? And then, whoop, he's mute. He can't say anything. Why? Because he would not submit his will to the will of God once the will of God was revealed to him. Now, let me tell you something, church, because this is sobering. As I'm studying this, I'm saying to myself, God revealed his will to Mary. He revealed his will to Joseph, and they both submitted and humbled their will. Now, you know, they could have jumped up and said, I'm not really into this. Right. Well, my goodness. Now, they could have, because God given us a will. Yeah. But if Zacharias had his mouth shut, I don't even want to think about what would happen to Mary or Joseph. They said, no, I'm really not, you know, no. No, this is not happening.
Hello.
I don't want to think about it. But thank God. But now the application comes to you and I. Because God, he's not silent. No. Listen, hey, listen. Even if you don't read your Bible. I didn't know. Oh, no. He's going to make it clear. He's going to get through. Now, you'll be a whole lot better off if you read it. Because when you open up the Word of God, you're seeing what the will of God is. You're reading it right there. I read Psalm 1 the other day. Oh, my goodness. Like I'd never read it before. It's like I've never read it before. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so here's the will of God for my life. In this one psalm right here, his will is that everything I do prospers. His will is that I be like a tree planted by the river of waters, that I do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but my delight will be in his word and in his law, and I will meditate therein day and night, that I'll make my way prosperous. And then the Holy Spirit said, this is my will for you.
Hallelujah.
This is my will. Now, if you just start right there, And you don't take in the word of God when the scripture says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's setting it straight right there. He's setting it straight. So I've got to give myself to the word of God. Why? Because it's his will for my life. So now I've got to come under, just like Mary and Joseph coming under. My question to us then, are we coming under the will of God? Why was all this done? Because the fruit of all of this was so that Christ could come forth. Because he is the Savior of all those who believe, the scripture says. So, have we been found with signs? Have we been found with child? You can tell, you know. In Acts chapter 4, I'll close with a few scriptures. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, scripture reads that the Sanhedrin, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. See, because when you're uneducated and untrained, you don't know anything. But the world boasts in knowledge. Paul said this. He said, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. The world boasts in its knowledge. These men were untrained and uneducated, but they were bold. Why? Because of not that they knew things, but they knew a person. They knew Jesus. They knew Jesus. And it shows when you know Jesus. It shows in how you speak. It shows in what you speak. Hello. Let me move on. Mark 16. And these signs shall follow those who believe. Hello. If Christ is on the inside of you, the Bible says there are things that are going to be going on in your life. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Who wants to cast out a demon? I mean, I can help you. I can have you cast out a demon right today. Okay. This week, I'll have you cast out a demon. Amen. Just come to me. Go home and turn off that demonic television show that be coming on. Cast it right out. Just go home, turn it off. Whatever it is you've been watching, and it ain't of God, and you know it ain't of God, and it doesn't edify you, it doesn't lift you up, cast it out. I'm having some fun, but cast it out. Amen. Get rid of it. Somebody say, I ain't never cast out a demon. Well, here's your chance. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This happens in people's lives who have Christ, who've been found with child. Hello? John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I thought about that again. I was thinking about mommy and the smile on her face. And I looked at the other girls, not that they're not Christian, I don't know anything about her, but I was just noticing the beam. Just the beam across her face and the lightheartedness, like she didn't have a care in the world. You just became it's just so fun. And she's just rejoicing. She has a father who cares for her, who's laid a good foundation for her to grow up on. Let me encourage us because our prayers for mommy really have only begun. Hello. Because if she goes and wins a medal, the endorsements are going to come. The fair weather friends, the people who didn't believe in you when you were, but who believe in you now. And, and all the temptation and the glitz and all the lure and all that going to come. But I told her yesterday when I talked to her, I said, Mama, you know, we've been praying with you, praying for you thus far. I said, we're going to be here till the end. Because that's who we are. We're the family of God. Amen. And we're connected, right? All right. So then John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Hello. Hello. Is that it? If Jesus is living on the inside of us, love our identity. Who was I talking to earlier this week? I don't know who I was talking to. It may have been Carl. Our identity. Yes. I feel a sermon. I feel something coming. I'm going to have to deal with this after a little while. Because our identity, Paul said, for those who are in Christ, we are neither male nor female. We're neither bond nor free. We're neither Scythian or barbarian. He says, but we are all in Christ. So as a Christian, my identity is not with the color of my skin. It's not what continent I came from. It's not what nation I was born in. It's not what family I came from. My identity is Christ and Christ alone. And if the church ever gets this right, we're going to show that the world's going to see something. The world's going to see what Christ intended for them to see when he birthed his church. Because too often our identity, listen, around the world, you got a far right government that just took over, I think it's in Sweden. I forget which European country took over in Sweden. And it's a populist right, far right leaning party. But there are Christians involved. Undoubtedly. As there are Christians involved everywhere. But our identity is not Republican. It's not Democrat. It's not independent. It's not left. It's not right. It's not. No. Our identity is Christ. It's Christ. And we are linked together because of who Christ is, the head, and we're the body, and we grow up into him, into all things. God help us now. So that Jesus said, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Don't owe any man anything but to love. And so, last scripture, Jesus said this in John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified. Let me read that again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So my desire, my prayer, my heart for us has been that, like Mary, we will be found with child, with fruit of the Holy Spirit, okay? Because that's what for Mary it was Christ growing in her womb. For us, it's Christ growing in the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace. How shall I know that these people are Christians? The fruit is that which shows on the outside what is going on the inside, because of the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the temperance. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit living in us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you now for your divine word. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Lord, that the truth makes us free. We thank you for so great a salvation that you counted us worthy of in choosing us for redemption. Father, we pray now that every moment we live, every place we go, every decision we make would be influenced by, oh God, your Spirit. And Father, that as Mary said, behold the maidservant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy will. As she humbled herself and submitted her will to your will. As Joseph gave himself and submitted his will to your will. May we then, as your people, as you've revealed the will of God to us through your word, may we every day make a conscious decision to submit ourselves to the will of God, so that Christ, Lord, in all of his glory might be revealed through us, O God, and not only saving us, but Lord, ministering salvation and redemption, Lord, to all those who are in our sphere of influence, Lord, in a place where we can impact their lives. We ask this now. We pray that you would go before us. We thank you that you go before us to the cookie outreach with whoever we share with, Lord, to caroling at the Senior Living Center. Lord, that you go before us and make a blessing, oh God. Make us a blessing in that place. In Jesus' holy name, and all of God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.